And I'll start you talking so I can finish my ice cream cone. My name is Linda Allen, and this session is The Spirit Sings. So if you're looking for Rick's session on leadership, that's in the other room. The Spirit Sings, Creativity, and Song Making. And I passed around a sheet already that just has a few thoughts that I've collected on song making. How many of you were at the session that I gave on Tuesday? How many were at my session on Tuesday? One? Okay. Oh, good. Okay, so it's all different people. So at the risk of being a little bit redundant for you who were there, to me it's very important to set a context for songwriting. So we're going to be talking a little bit about why people write or the role of the songwriter in a society. And we'll keep that part of it fairly brief because I also want to do just a lot of basic skill sharing of what makes up a good song. And a lot of what we'll be talking about relates very much to any kind of creative writing. And there are some specifics towards lyrics that we can talk about. But one thing I'd like to start out with is just briefly, if you would introduce yourself and... let's see, there's a question. Are you a writer of songs or poems or any kind of creative writing? Do you do that? If so, why? If so, if not, why not? And if you could keep your remarks somewhat limited, but just let me know if you write and why, if you do, and if you don't, why not? That's the question. Okay. Yeah, you want to start?
Look up. Oh, I thought it was just anybody.
Yeah, no, put you right on the spot.
All right. I don't write. I would like to. But I've always, because I took an English minor, I was always given an impression of these cliches. Mm-hmm. You know, and don't use cliches all the time, white as snow and things like that. And I think that way. So I feel like I would not have anything to contribute that isn't already there, although I do have deep feelings about things. And I also am a preschool teacher. I would like to be able to write for the children. Mm-hmm. Singable, easily singable songs, not ones with whole bunches of words, mm-hmm. but have some kind of a come back to. Their favorite song is The Lollipop Tree, which has that ha 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 ho ho ho, because mm-hmm. that's one part they can all come back to.
Which is part of the secret of a good song, especially mm-hmm. for younger kids. It's very repetitious.
Yeah.
Keep coming back to something that's familiar.
That it doesn't get old to them, that it still has a good feeling when they sing mm-hmm. it.
I think you'll find this very true for adults, too.
Yeah.
We also like yeah. a lot
right.
of repetition. What's your name?
Charlene.
Okay.
We'll
just go around the first row and then pick up the back rows.
I'm Laurel, and the only songwriting I do is with my kids when we make up silly songs in the car.
Mm, good.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful gift you're giving to your kids because you're making them know that it's a natural kind of activity that people do. And when I work with kids, that's one of the first things I want to put across is this is not just some magical, mystical thing only a select few can do. It's a very natural human activity like dancing and so many of the other kinds of things that we all used to do, singing even. Mm-hmm. But songwriting is also a very natural thing to do,
yeah.
and I'm glad you're encouraging that.
Okay. I don't do any writing. I'm a performer and a musician, and I rely so heavily on what's on the page, and I think a lot of it because of the training I've had never really encouraged the creative end of things, but rather learn to sight read and play what's there.
That's been a common, I've heard that hang up a lot, you know, that people who are so used to reading from the written page that they've found it very hard to break loose.
And as a teacher, because I had a teacher that didn't encourage that, I tried to right away from the beginning encourage my students to create on their own and put titles to things or and if they could put words to things or whatever. Try to encourage that just because I wish I would have had a teacher that had done that for me.
Oh, excellent. That's good. I think that's the basis of a lot of Suzuki training,
yeah.
is using the ears, you know, training them to do that before they ever start connecting that to the written page. I think that's very important.
I'm Joanne, and I haven't done any creative writing, but I somehow feel like I would really like to. And I do some journaling, and sometimes I feel like possibly maybe some things could come with that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think is the biggest block for you for not doing more writing?
Well, it's funny, I guess, because I've always thought I never could for some reason, you know, and so I've never really seriously, I guess I've never taken seriously the path that maybe I could.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple times, like, I said, oh, maybe you'd like to write, and somehow I thought to myself, I read, but I think maybe all for a long time, maybe all my life, I would like to have written, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My name is Don, and I have been in musical writing, and similar to both of them, I guess. Was in band in high school, enjoyed that a lot, and
mm-hmm.
in church choir, enjoyed that. I'm tied to the page, too, you know. But I do think that all of us have a creative side to us, and that's something I haven't developed, so
mm-hmm.
that's one reason I'm here.
Good. Well, we'll certainly try and make room for talking about where the inspirations come and how to tap into that. This is songwriting, by the way, and leadership is over there. I didn't know for sure which one you wanted because we switched rooms.
My name is Carolyn, and I don't do creative writing, and I think I'm going to blame a teacher. I took a creative writing course and nearly failed it because everything I wrote was wrong. Mm. And I tell myself stories all the time, but I never put them down. So I think, you know, if I would ever sit down and write them, a pet teacher, you know.
That's where I got hung up, too. It's a cliche.
My name is Val. The only writing I've done, I can't even call it journaling. I kept a diary religiously for 6 years. I mean, day by day, that's a blow by blow description. Mm-hmm. And finally, I skipped a day and I haven't written the words. But I think that sort of pressure of keeping up and writing that much every day was just something that all of a sudden I didn't need, and so I'd like to return to writing in a more relaxed format.
Now there are several excellent books about journal writing,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot recall the titles. One I have at home, and then there's one in the bookstore that looks really intriguing too, because in the book that I read about creative journal writing, it gives you all kinds of options,
mm-hmm.
ways to keep a journal, and the last option is every day you must. that's probably the least creative, and these just give you any number of techniques, and I wish I could recall the name of it, but do look for some books on it. Yeah.
I'm Barb, and I haven't done much writing, and somehow I think if I did a lot, I'd probably be good at it. But I have a certain panic at a white page. You know, look at that page, and I think it has to do with wanting perfection right away.
Mm, that's a common one.
And then being dissatisfied with what I put down, and on the other hand, being satisfied if I really work at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just haven't worked hard enough yet. Just that, I think.
I'm getting beyond that internal editor, you know, that says, this is trash, this is awful, this is terrible.
Right.
Well, all the time you're trying to write, it's very difficult to break through that one, to break beyond it.
That's
and
right.
you just can't work under that kind of pressure. No one can.
And it's hard
we'll come,
to
we must come back
somebody,
to that
thing. It's hard to fathom how somebody can actually write songs. Hmm. I mean, that's just a good thing. Number one, write prose that it's succinct and meaningful, and then to put that to song now. That seems beyond me.
Well, I'll have a few comments about that. Well, okay, I'm going to interject one thing right here. I think it is a gift in part, but I really downplay that side of it because I think it's a gift we are all given. And you're going to hear me say this ad nauseum. This is something we all can do. But it is also a craft, and I wouldn't be honoring the craftsmanship if I didn't honor the fact that I've been doing it for 20-some years. And so hopefully, yes, I'm I'm better at it than someone who's never worked at it. I mean, that, I like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
But that it is definitely a craft that anyone can develop, and I really do believe that. But it's more the question of how to, you know, we can, so there are skills we can learn or we can talk about, but it's part of it is just breaking through that internal editor, believing you can, believing that anybody can, and getting started, getting, you know, past that blank sheet of paper. Okay, we'll come back to that.
Yeah. I am a writer, and I love poetry very much and think about it as the music of the language, but I have thought about trying to write lyrics to songs or stanzas to songs, and that leap never happened, so mm-hmm. I'm here partly because I'm fascinated about what that would be or why mm-hmm. I can't seem to make that jump on my own, even though I have thought about it.
Let's take a minute and just address that for a second. The difference between a lyric and a poem, because there is a difference. A poem is meant to be savored and reread and mulled over. It doesn't have to say it all in one time, one pass. A lyric basically does. You want to get it the first time through. And a number of elements that need to be repetitious. And it also doesn't stand on its own. I mean, there are always exceptions, but in general, it doesn't stand on its own. It kind of needs the motor of a tune to drive it. But there is definitely a difference. And so when people call me a poet, you know, or other songwriters a poet, and I think, no, that's really not true, because they would not stand alone as a poem. But work well with a melody. But yeah, that's okay.
I'm Lorna, and I'm not a writer, but I'm the mother and grandmother of writers. So I've always been interested. I taught school and loved to teach poetry. I could teach poetry to all grades. Instead of assigning a poem, we would learn it in class.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed doing that. I've always been. I love drawing and artwork, but I haven't done a lot of it. My life has gone many other ways.
You know, my mother, who may be around your age, is just now doing some of her first writing. You know, she, I guess, never had time before, and she's writing a family history, you know, chapter by chapter. And it's more fun. It is such a gift to all of us. And I never thought of her as a writer, and it's emerging. Yeah.
Another thought, my granddaughter gave me a journal for Christmas last year. And I don't know why in particular. I have 7 grandchildren. But I do things with her that I don't do with others. I don't know. Mm. But when I received her gift, I knew it was a book. And I knew it was an empty book.
Huh.
So I made a big fuss about holding this book
mm-hmm.
and that it really was going to make a lot of work for me.
Heavy book.
Oh. And I have started because she does computer work, so whatever I write. Well, my granddaughter said, you've lived almost 100 years. Why don't you write about them?
Oh.
You have so much to tell.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'm not a writer. But I'm doing it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. Your family will be forever grateful.
My name is Gary. I've never written any music, but I do enjoy writing from time to time. And I find it easiest to write when I feel that I've got something important to tell somebody else.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've brought along some materials. I'm going to try to get a couple of things written on up here.
Great. That reminds me, we should spend a little time on motivation. What gets you going? Yeah. That's great.
I'm David. I'm a teacher, and I have written and teach writing, but I'd like to translate that into more musical. I play guitar, and I like to work that into my classroom as a way to teach history and work with that.
Great.
Well, I don't have any formal training, and Osmosis hasn't given me any other. But I'm here because I'm interested.
Great. Okay. Now, let's pick up in the back here.
I'm Lisa, I teach Sunday school and enjoy music and would like to be able to write songs that are accessible to young kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed that sort of thing, but don't write.
Okay.
I'm Deb, and I write what is on the page, and I read, I play what is on the page musically, and don't really have the confidence to do anything else. I feel if I tried to write, I would not know the basic rules of writing.
Mm-hmm. Most of us don't. I didn't learn any rules before I start. I think what got me started was just listening to a lot of other people's work, which you've been doing for years if you're playing other people's work. And you may be surprised at how much knowledge you do have that you have simply absorbed by having heard it for so long, that when you do actually take that leap and break away and start to write, I think you will really surprise yourself. Okay.
I'm Gail. I don't really like drawing, but I love music and I love books. And some of the songs that I just have just emerged have been, especially the young children. And now I'm working with 9 and 10 year olds, and I think the music is there, but they're maybe already sort of stifled by what they think somebody's going to think of their song. And so, as far as the writing, there's just some of like great stuff that they've written. If I back off on the
Yeah, listening to these other people's stories, obviously that's a real important thing to do, is to back off on that aspect. Yeah.
I'm Betty, and I've taught public school and Sunday school and had my own 4 kids and always enjoyed playing around with music and songs with the most capacity. Now I got time to really do it. I'm so excited.
All right. Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We just came in. I'm sorry we don't.
That's fine. Just
that we're not. I'm not sure what we're doing.
Okay. Well, let me explain one thing. Some people are confused because there's a leadership class next door. The two classes got switched. So just to make sure you know, this one is on creativity and song making.
Good.
Okay. So make sure you were in the right place. That's fine. What we're doing is just talking about. If people write, or if they do, or if they don't, why they don't, you know, what blocks there might be to keep them from writing, or if you do write, poetry or any kind of creative writing, and give us your name.
I'm not a musician, but I love music. That's why I was attracted here. But the only writing we've done, together we've written some books,
okay.
And so that kind of writing is the main thing.
Oh, good. Well, I think a lot of it's relevant. You know, if you're doing creative writing, it's great.
Books, I suppose the only avenue now in my life is with grandchildren, whether it be making up songs and rhymes and so forth.
And you do that?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I think for me, I like to write short stories and I like poems. And then I wrote a song for the piano once to write for the piano.
Good. Okay.
I'm Connie, and I don't write at all. I would like to. But there's two reasons for that. One, basically
late, and I kind of always start. Sometimes
just
a little
word
start.
I'm Ryan, and I like music, and I don't like.
Okay. Why don't you?
Never
sort of felt the urge, or. Okay. Well, I would say we have been quite a number of people who really haven't done this before, who haven't tried to write a song before. Are there actually anybody who has? Well, some of you have made up little songs and you may not consider it songwriting, but I certainly do. Who, writing your songs for your children and for your grandchildren, that's exactly what we're talking about, that is songwriting, and that's what we want to take it out of the sort of magical sphere of thinking that it's something that only a select few do with some God-given gift, and it is, you know, it is certainly that. But as I said, it's something we all have. One songwriter, and I can't remember who it is, said, I don't write songs, I write them down. And there is always that element as well. You know, there is part of that divine inspiration from wherever that comes that is a mystery. But I do think, again, it's something we can all tap into with the right degree of openness and belief in ourselves and believing that we can do that. Let's talk just a minute about... Oh, the sheet that I handed out. And those of you who haven't had it, can we share a little bit? If you have it, maybe hand it in back. And again, if you lose your sheet and want a copy, see me afterwards and we'll try and get you some copies. But if we could hand them back so other people can look them over. It's just some thoughts on songwriting. And as you'll see, it's really, it touches a little bit on skills. But it's more, what is the role? You know, what is the role of the songwriter in a culture, in a society? And though we want to concentrate a little more on skills at this session, I at least want to talk about that because it's kind of the heart of what I do. I consider myself a teacher probably as much or more than a musician. Music is what I use to teach. So, you know, a performer or a songwriter or a song maker in a community or culture may act in part as an entertainer. You know, hopefully at its best we're all entertainers, but some of us also have expectations that we're also making a difference in the world, that we're making a difference in how people think and how they perceive the world. And a lot of the thoughts that you see on those pages are other people who feel that way, too. It's definitely a biased selection. But if you want to just sort of glance over it, and I'd like to have your comments about that, just your comments, your thoughts about what the role is. Certainly some of you have already tapped onto it as we've gone around the room. Historian, that's one of the sort of time-honored roles of a minstrel or a musician within a community has been to reflect back the community's history, you know, to gather the songs that have been sung and passed down and to keep alive those traditions. And because we have so rapidly changed from a community that relies on an oral tradition into one that relies on the written word and mass media, it's... A flickering flame, you know, of keeping alive this oral histories that have been nurtured through so many generations. At its best, what we as musicians and storytellers and writers will do is try and keep alive some of those traditions. Writing your family's histories, I just think, a wonderful thing to do. Well, other people's comments. Yes. What is the role, as you see it, of other ideas, as an entertainer and historian, other roles of a musician in a culture, in a community, in a family?
I've heard that Pete Seeger, he's done that in one of his tapes or albums, and there is a lot of it has been a political statement.
Mm-hmm.
That he is...
political statement, yeah, and it's more or less an artist's personal vision, you know, which is what every artist does on some level. You're putting across your personal vision. For some, it's just, I don't know how to define politics, and that always gets confusing. For me, I consider what I do pretty political, at the same time, fairly visionary. So, you know, all those kind of weave in together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he put a real good statement here. I had always felt like, how many thousands and thousands of songs have been written? Is there anything new to write? And here says, we need thousands of new songs of these days. Humor, poke fun at the damn foolishness going on in the world. Songs of love and faith in mankind in the future. And songs to needle our consciences and stir our indignation and anger. And I'm thinking that the world is different this year than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to write about this year's world that our future people need to know that took place.
Absolutely.
I guess I never thought that there was anything new to say. I mean, I keep running into new songs. Boy, that's great. You know?
That's right.
I think an important role would be the expressions of feelings of people. You know, thinking of South Africa or the early Black history in this country, expressions of anger or despair or whatever, or sorrow. But also, I think the film that we see strong expressions of hope. It's set before the people, their visions and their vision and hope, and I think that's an important part of song, making song.
I think at its best, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We had an interesting discussion, as you may remember, in our session on Tuesday, in which we talked about the song maker, the artist, as one who reflects back to the culture, and it is, in a way, we take the experiences of the culture and we reflect it back. But someone was pointing out, but we don't want to be simply a reflection of the prevailing cultural standards and mores. We want to do more than that. We want to set some visions too, and some dreams, and keep those alive as well. And so much of what you hear in popular culture seems to be, or in popular media, seems to be simply a reflecting back of sometimes the lowest common denominator of what our values are, because it's what sells, you know. And the influence of money, the influence of all of that, which is why we have a few making the music for all of us, which means it all sounds alike, and you know, this homo... it's not just music. This is happening in so much of our culture where we're losing the uniqueness of each community and each individual and each family and how those vary. And that's why I'm really for people, when you seek your inspiration, to look to your family, to your own stories, to your own area for inspiration. So we don't become just part of the mass melting pot. Anyway, I could go on and on.
Another thing I think is important is that songs get memorized, and memory taps into the past, and then people learn the songs. And I'm always astounded that all of a sudden something will pop. I realize my brain is holding the verses or the stanzas, the songs that my dad sang. When I was 5 and 6 and 7, and I think I've forgotten them, but all of a sudden I hear them, and all 3 or 4 verses will come rolling out, you know, doing the old time religion, or something like that. Comes out of the hands and babies. And so memory and learning through memory and passing it on happens in songs more than in poems.
And the other thing about that process is, and maybe this is a difference too between some of you who are in the written arts and some of those who are in more of an oral tradition, is that writing them down freezes them. And then people are much more reluctant to change them. Maybe I'm not doing them right because it was written this way in the book. And the whole value of so much of folk tradition and folk music is in the changing, because it is changing. We do create new verses for this time and this event, and that's part of what keeps it alive and keeps it rich. Yeah.
There seems to be a focus here on the written song, meaning that when we have a lot of the classical tunes, it's purely notes without words, and yet those are, there's a familiarity over one's lifetime to the familiar sound that brings back a mood or a memory, and that reminds you, there's a real sense of bonding to a lot of these tunes that don't even have words.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought, because I don't think much in terms of classical music, although I listen to it a lot. Mm-hmm. I've never really made a study of it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't thought about that, but that's very true. These are very ancient tunes we're listening to.
Yeah.
One of the things that you're saying that just flashed in my mind was when I was traveling in Europe one time. We went to church in a German church, didn't understand a word of it. They started singing the hymns. It was a Lutheran church, and we sang English to them, and it was the same music, and
we're
kind of like, finally know something.
Well, there's another role of the musician and community. It's to unify, to bring people together. And I think music does that so well. Any other comments?
Music kind of taps emotions that you can't get out of words, too. I think of a group of people singing songs about love, for instance, and getting teary-eyed over that. And they'd never be able to say that out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it seems like songs and lyrics and the music to it kind of taps things inside that.
Well, this can kind of spring us into another discussion I want to have, which is what makes a good song?
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is this universal quality.
Mm-hmm.
And how does one achieve that in your own writing? How do you achieve that kind of woman in El Salvador, you know, and the difficulties of her life? What makes you feel with her? Yeah. What is it about a song that makes you feel with her?
In that case, this song you sang last night was about concern for your children and wanting things to be better for them, and that's a universal thought.
Yes. Can we think about, are there any techniques that we can talk about that makes a song have that universal quality?
One of the things in that, for that fact song, is you name the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it seem like real people rather than some, you know, vague person working in the grape field. You know, it was Tom Arnold made a person's name, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it made you think of, you know, that it was actually a person with a face and name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking about the song Si Se Puede?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's very true. I think also my way of telling stories. If someone said, okay, there's a farm workers rally and I want you to write a song for it. Yeah. And sometimes I've been called on to do that sort of thing and I will agonize. I will sit down and talk about staring at the blank piece of paper and I will just go crazy because nothing's coming. Because we can't pull things out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know? We can't do that. So how would I go about writing a song for farm workers? Well, I'll tell you what I did intensely for the centennial year when I wrote 19 songs during that year. I researched. You know, I did my homework. I went to that part of the state. I met with the farm workers' families, and I met with union officials. I had them put a lot of literature. And they were mostly, you know, newspaper writers are great allies of mine because often they will focus in on a single individual and really paint a vivid, you know, give you a lot of history, a lot of that person's story. So the first person that I named, the asparagus cutter, came directly from some articles that were printed in a newspaper about the life of the children who worked in the asparagus fields. And so then I take that information and from it glean an essence that seems to work, which is to put it into a story of an individual and then make it very rich with detail. Now, the detail is also a very important part of that process. And making anything come alive, if I just tried to get preachy about this issue, if I just tried to say there are injustices, instead all you do is paint a picture. You just show someone, you know, a picture of someone's life, and then someone else can look at it and say, that's unjust, rather than my telling them that it's unjust, which will really take away from the power of it. You need to allow people to feel those emotions and name them themselves by just telling a good story and making it as real and as detailed as possible. And that's why the more you know about what you're trying to write about, then the more vivid and the more universal it will be. The deeper you go, in fact, one songwriter said the deeper she went into herself and her own experiences, the more universal it became, which is an interesting twist on what we've been saying. But in a sense, it is that I could find what I have in common and the fears I have in common with a girl who works in the asparagus fields. And in trying to paint that picture, what is it in her experience that I want to name, that I want people to feel? And it's always, in some way, resounds with something I've experienced in my own life. You know? Though I've never been in the field, so I've never had that experience, there are still fears that I have. There are still fatigue. I could identify with the fatigue, you know, as a mother of three children. I could identify with the caretaking and with the never having any time and just the endless cycle of her life. And at times I felt like mine was that intense. So that's what I wanted people to feel, that intensity. I'm going on and on. Other comments? But let's talk about this just for a minute, this universal, because in terms of getting you started writing, in terms of giving you some direction and how to begin, begin as personally as you can. And I don't mean personally in terms of just your own person, because sometimes that's the most boring work, but in terms of taking a character and making it as real as possible. You know, and imbued with a lot of your own personal experiences, definitely. More comments about sort of universality or that?
Well, one aspect. Other thing that I thought about, because you were talking about folk singing last night, was that very often, especially with that type of song, that you can picture the person on the asparagus field, that mm-hmm. you get not just words being sung, but you can actually see, picture what's happening, and whether it's that song or, you know, I mean, while you're singing about Holden, of course, you're singing about the potter, and I was like, okay, I can actually see that picture, and that made me think, you know, like I could relate to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is exactly the same thing, but I keep thinking of, I remember years ago, I think as a teenager, I was reading a book, and I don't remember anything about the book or the story, except that one part of it, there was a war going on, and this mother was standing thinking about her son who was fighting in war. And at the moment she thought about that, she pictured a mother in the other country thinking also about her son who was fighting mm-hmm. the other side. And for me, at that moment in my life, it was the first time opened up for me the whole idea of, you know, nonviolence and the futility of war. And it was really a kind of life-changing thing for me. But it was that universal feeling of all of a sudden faces or, you know, touching the same, having the same, sharing the same feeling.
Now that is a powerful image for some kind of writing, whether a song or a story or a poem. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful image. And those are the kinds of images that you look for. I mean, talk about getting, we're sort of skipping all around here because we're trying to cover a lot in a very short period of time. But the question has come up for a lot of you who have never set pen to paper, how do you get started? What is it that's going to inspire you? Now that it was something you read that just gave you an image and you made that connection. Now to take it that step further, you put pen to paper and you try to write down what that was. And what's probably most important is you write it without stopping. You just start writing until you really have burned out that kind of passion that's in you, and you're feeling strongly about this image that you have, and you write about it until that dissipates, and don't stop until it dissipates. And to whatever you do, don't lift the pen from the paper and let that internal editor have a chance to work. Some people do it by writing with the other hand, with the hand you don't normally use, mm-hmm. as a way of kind of tricking your brain into using the more creative side of it, because there's at least, okay, this is the philosophy, one of the resources I'll recommend, it's in the bookstore, Writing the Natural Way, and it talks a lot about this left hand, right hand, or left brain, right brain techniques and ways to get around that internal editor, because I've heard a lot of you say that. I've heard a lot of you talk about or feel like what I have to say isn't really worthwhile. I never felt I had, you know, these are common things people say, or someone told me I can't write, so I don't. And the power that someone has to stop people's creativity by somehow making some chance remark, oh, that's really a cliche, you know, instead of leading you beyond that, instead of just saying, your writing is really full of cliches, you know, instead of getting beyond that and saying, well, here's another way to say that, or just, you know, trying to reach beyond it. Of course, everybody's writing is full of cliches. We all start that way. Everybody does. So how do we get beyond it? Well, this is one possible resource. Yeah.
I just heard there's a children's book author by the name of Avi, and I just heard him speak, and he he put five on the board showing his writing in high school, and it was just red, penciled all over, upside one bell and the other, you know. And he went through that whole process. For him, the most enjoyable part of writing is the rewriting.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, lots of times, he'll rewrite something 40 or 50 times. And that's not to say the first time was completely bad. It's just to say that he just said that to be a good writer, you have to read, too, or listen, in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And that and then be able to read what you've written and be able to feel how it's going to sound to somebody else reading it.
Yes.
And then so he was rewriting just to get a different nuance or something. And so he was emphasizing that, you know, that each one didn't mean it was bad, but it just could be said another way, sort of like you were saying.
Right. Good. Oh, a good teacher can do so much good, and a bad teacher can do so much bad. Another book. Wonderful book, Writing Down the Bones. And this is, for those of you, journal writing. This is wonderful inspiration for that. All kinds of techniques. This will give you a lot of those beginning inspirations. It has a wonderful chapter at the beginning on tools. Yeah. I mean, to a real thoughtful approach to writing, to starting out with this idea of think about the pen you want to use.
Yeah.
A pen that's going to, you know, really flow easily across the page, that isn't going to get in your way, isn't going to stop you. Mm-hmm. Then do you want to...
She has a second book, you know it?
No.
A Wild Mind, and it's even more exciting than that one.
Oh.
And at the end of each chapter, she makes a little list, 1, 2, 3, and she'll say, do this, do this. And so mm-hmm. you read a chapter, and she sits there and tells you what to do, and you're not supposed to lift your pen off the paper,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a few minutes and just see what happens in
yeah.
that kind of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is just...
Good. I'm glad to know she's followed up with this.
Yep.
But this one has been
a great inspiration. Well, I don't know. They are each really valuable.
It's in the top
Wild Mind.
Wild Mind.
Good.
And her point is you can tap into a place in your mind that you don't really know what's there.
Yeah. Which is sort of the same idea of writing
yeah.
the natural way, you know,
yeah.
and everybody.
Not on our list, is it?
Yes,
it is that one.
Yeah,
this one, right?
It is.
Now.
Yeah. So it would be the same author.
Put that on. Author.
Well, I want to. Yeah.
In light of what you're just saying, to take that literally, would it be more difficult to use a word processor then?
Oh, now, people disagree on that.
Yeah.
They really do. I find for me, I can't do my initial writing on a word processor. And I finally discovered, because I really like computer and I use it a lot in the work that I do, but not the creative end. For me, I have to do it on paper because something about it, when it comes out printed, it's frozen. You know? And I have a hard time revising it, whereas with all my stacks of notes and papers, it's much easier to tear them up and, you know, write and rewrite and rewrite. And so for me, no. But for many people, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it really varies, but I'm exactly like you, a clean sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And also, some people are very disturbed by bound, beautiful journals because you're afraid to write in them because they're so pretty, you want every word to be perfect. You know? So forget that. If that bothers you, forget that. And just use, you know, notebook or loose leaf or some other, you know, find some other system, a very disposable paper, you know, so that it doesn't get in your way. We're talking a lot about generalities about writing, and I hope all this is helpful, but I want to get a little bit into other tools that are helpful for lyrics specifically. Let me see what I'm like. Sure, I'm not. Oh, environment. Let's talk about that just for a minute, though, before we get into that. Where do you write? What? Some of you who do write, are there? How do you create that space and that place? And what do you require to write? And or think about your ideal. If you're not a writer, what would be an ideal place for you to write? Any thoughts on that?
Depends on what kind of writing.
Yeah.
And then some of it is reflective, other ways just goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to have it quiet if it's reflective. And
So if it's goofy, you could come out in the middle of giving the kids a bath or
right.
whatever. That's right.
All
good
the
point.
Yeah. And that's pretty constant.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take much energy to come up with a goofy song and make up your tune.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you've got everybody else's goofy thoughts imparting on it.
The other thing, too, is especially in, when you're talking about, and a couple of you have talked about writing kids' songs, especially in writing that, don't be afraid to use somebody else's tune. We've all done that. I mean, that's part of learning to write is using other people's tunes initially. So if you're hung up thinking, the reason I don't write songs is I can't write tunes, I have some good words here, but I could never write a tune, don't worry about it. Put it to familiar tunes until you get really comfortable doing that, and then you'll find, well, you know, I could change this tune just a little bit. Instead of it going down here, maybe I'll see what happens if it goes up here, and, you know, gradually you'll start finding your own voice. I can't say enough about, in terms of song, I'm digressing. We were talking about environment, okay. Okay, let's finish with environment, then I want to try and get back into that. I think it's true that there are a variety of settings and locations. I think what's hard is creating the space. And for me, it's giving myself a couple of hours to stare at that blank sheet of paper. And that's where the hard work comes, because I'll say, oh, I'm too busy, I can't possibly do it, especially, I'm saying that a lot these days with a baby. And it's also very true, you know, a lot of the time. But so what I need is a couple of hours to sit and stare at a blank sheet of paper and allow myself to get still enough to, usually I don't want to usually do that unless I have something I want to write about. I feel strongly I've had some inspiration. What's hard is, I mean, the inspirations can come anywhere. What's hard is honoring that idea, because so often we think, well, I'll remember that later. It's gone forever and ever. You know, I've lost so many like that, and everyone else has too. Some people carry around notebooks. Some people at night have a notebook by their table. Some people use a tape recorder. There are all kinds of methods people use to get down that initial idea, hopefully with some of the passion that was behind it when you thought of it. And then the next thing is to create the space. And I think that's been hard to do, but if it's something, if you want to honor this impulse that you have to write, you're going to have to find a way to create some space for it and to honor it as you would your gardening or any other thing that you really want to get better at. Honor it. Give it a little space. I know one thing that turned around my writing was when both of my older girls were very small. And I was just saying, it's impossible, I can't possibly do this. And then I decided, okay, what I'm going to do is start, I'm going to actually try and earn enough off of my writing to have my children in daycare a couple of afternoons a week. And those afternoons will be devoted to my craft. And sort of making that kind of commitment, which was very scary at the time. And it worked. And then I was able to, you know, sort of get into the routine of writing, and those creative juices started flowing. But don't expect it to sort of fall in your lap or fall on your head or, you know, bang you over the head. You've got to make space for it. So that's just one thing. Some people write well when they're walking, you know, in a pretty location, or even through your house, especially when you're dealing with tunes. And well, even with I'm sort of devoting more of the time to lyric writing, because that's where I devote most of my time. In terms of writing, some people write the lyrics first, some people write the music first, some people have kind of write them both together. For me, it's almost always the lyrics first, because I'm a word person. What's most important to me is the story that I'm telling, and if you've heard my concerts, you know that they're more story songs, and so getting those words down first is important. Sometimes I have a tune running through my head. Often it's just like a poem. To get the rhythm of those lyrics, and again, maybe a little difference between a lyric and a poem, is that the rhythm is very important. And sometimes walking that through, you know, walking as you write, is helpful for many people. Also, the way the language flows. Sometimes awkward songs are because you're trying to force poems or force into a rhythm a language or a way of speaking that won't be forced. It sounds forced. And in order for it to flow, then again, this idea of walking with it as you speak and paying very close attention to the cadence of your own voice, to the way in which the language naturally flows, and to try not to hurt that too much when you try and fit it into the constrictions of a rhythm and a pattern. Let it, be aware of it flowing. If you cannot get this word here to rhyme down here, you may have to change this up here. You know, it may be, and this has often happened to me, that where I thought I was going with the song isn't where I wound up at all. And that's okay. You know, I probably came out with something much better than what I initially intended. I may have had an initial idea, but in trying the creativity, in trying to find those rhymes, sometimes leads you in whole new directions. You know? And it can be really fun. And believe me, the song will be better than if you forced and jammed in some line that isn't going to work, because it's always going to stick out. You know? So having it not stick out is really, if I can, I don't know how to articulate that very well, but if you're listening to a song or something you've written and something keeps kind of bumping when you get to it, change it, because it's going to bump for other people too. The inspiration is usually that first wonderful rush that happens when you get the song fully blown, or poem or piece or whatever you've done, fully blown out and onto the page, and you think, ah, I'm done. That's the beginning. You know, what's really hard, and where, again, maybe the difference between in craftsmanship between a beginning songwriter and one who is really working their craft, is that you go back and you fix it again and again and again, and you find all those rough spots and you keep honing it. Now, most people, it's like a polished stone, you can hone it too much, you know, so that you've lost, you know, where you were going with the song, and it's gone. You know? You don't want to do that either. There's a critical place there, and you'll know that, you'll recognize that. But the craftsmanship is in playing with those words again and again and again. Some tools that are helpful. There's a rhyming dictionary. I never even knew they existed before I went to a workshop on songwriting and someone told me there was such a thing as a rhyming dictionary. Invaluable. There's also, you know, a thesaurus, the common tools of writing that you would know. But the rhyming dictionary is particularly helpful. And then the other thing is that tune hoard that you all carry around in your head, which comes from having listened to a lot of people's works. And for me, and I'm sure this is true for many other songwriters, I spend a whole lot of time singing other people's songs before I ever found my own voice or my way of expressing. And your voice will come, you leap off, it's what I was telling you, when you've been playing other people's songs for a long, long time, you're going to find that when you sort of leap off that cliff and start going it on your own, that your own voice will start coming through, because you've got a head full of tunes and words to draw from. And that's like a chest full of gold in there, you know? The fact that you've been into this, into music, is wonderful tools to have already that you all possess, particularly if you've been singing them and patterning. Another thing too, another trick when you go to write a song, you know, pattern it right after some song that you really like. You know, let the words just flow right along that same way. And you can do that with your lyrics as well as with your tunes. Copy, copy, copy. You know, it's okay, because your own voice will start emerging. But I don't know a songwriter who didn't start out by just doing, you know. What did Woody Guthrie say is the biggest song thief that ever lived? And it's probably true, you know. He knew so many traditional tunes, and he used those, and he was also one of the finest wordsmiths. I mean, he's just almost unsurpassed. He was just brilliant. But it came, I'm sure, from having sung all these songs for so long, you know, letting it flow. You know, we're running close to out of time, and this should easily be a 2-hour workshop, so we could actually start practicing some of these skills and doing it. And I am around till tomorrow. But if any of you had any pieces you wanted to bring to me this evening, you know, if you want to grab me and just say, what do I do with this, or do you have any suggestions for that, I'm really open to that. But right now, do you have some questions that
we could discuss, or I could maybe help with.
You said until you made some money that you could turn back into your daycare.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make the money?
Well, that was maybe what was unique to what I was doing. For me, it was constant because I'm a performer. And I guess performing is my big incentive for writing. So it's been, those two have come very together. I don't think that I would be writing much if I weren't also performing, because I needed that incentive. You know, I had a performance coming up in a month, and I really needed some new songs. I didn't want to sing the same songs. So it added, acts as a boost. And so then the performance money would be what I would turn into childcare to give myself some time. And it would just be break even for a long, long time. You know? But it was a way that I chose to do it. But however way, whatever way you can find that time.
When do you decide that it's okay not to rhyme?
Not to rhyme?
Yeah, I mean, it seems
good
like there's plenty of very good music that doesn't rhyme at all.
You know, for me, it's only, I think I spent a long, long time rhyming before I ever got experimental enough so that this line would be, you know, this line would be this long, and then the next line would maybe be this long, and the next line this long, and then go back to this long, and maybe they'd rhyme and maybe they... I was giving myself more freedom. But when you give up the rhyme sort of at the end of the words, sort of typical, what you look for is more of the rhyming within the lines, you know, or the, I can't recall the terms, but the alliteration, can't recall, where words sound alike, maybe have the same beginnings or same internal rhymes. And you can do a lot of that within a word, and then that last rhyme at the end is not as important. And it kind of took me a while to let myself do that, but I've had a lot of fun with it since I started giving myself more freedom, because it also then translated into a lot more creativity in some of the tunes that were coming out.
Seems like it would be easier to tell a story that way without having to be confined.
Well, I think, though, for me, the confining, because I think I have a real love for American and traditional ballads. So that was a form I was very used to and very familiar with. So it, to me, hasn't been a handicap. To me, it's been given me a structure that was really useful. But that may not be true for other people. That's, again, my song hoard comes from a lot of traditional music. And I do feel very strongly about my role as a folk musician and carrying on a tradition. So having really steeped myself in music. And I guess one complaint I have about a lot of contemporary music is it doesn't have any roots. You know, it doesn't have any tradition. And I feel that. You know, I'm so much more drawn to a song with some history and some, I don't know if familiarity is quite the word, but a form that to me feels like it's an older form. But that's, you know, it's a personal bias. Other comments or questions?
Who have you... What other songwriters have been especially inspirational for you?
Well, see, I guess because for me, the message is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them they mostly tend to be people who do the kind of work I see myself doing, which is more in the area of social change. People like Charlie King, Malvina Reynolds, who I had the good fortune to know, and was a friend and an inspiration years ago in Berkeley. Lately a guy named Bob Franke, who is just very spiritual man. I think he is a minister, in fact, and writes just some of the most. I mean, he to me is, I think his lyrics would probably stand just fine alone. I think he is a poet and an incredible writer. So he's been a real inspiration lately. I love Bill Staines. He's got the most this is not a political guy, but the most singable songs that are being written or have been written in the past 10, 20 years. Just, and it's some of, again, these are the kind of songs that people sing around the campfire these days. Everybody brings up one of the latest Bill Staines songs. And he's not a wonderful singer. You know, he's never going to make the top 10 in terms of, but every folk singer, you know, gravitates to his songs and sings them and spreads them around. So certainly his songs.
John Denver
certainly has been. I don't know what he's doing lately, and I've sort of lost track. Judy Small from Australia. wonderful writer, Frankie Armstrong, who was a singer of traditional songs and has then started writing some of her own, has certainly been a major influence. Certainly Joan Baez, Judy Collins, Joni Mitchell, you know. Those were certainly the women from that era that inspired me. A little commercial plug. I do have some, I'm leaving tomorrow, but there are some cassettes and songbooks. I'm also a collector of songs, and those works are all in the bookstore, and there's one table display if you want to see more of what I do. And also, I'm always networking looking for work. If you want to put a name on a mailing list or have any conferences, if you want literature, I've got that too. I sing in schools, weddings, bar mitzvahs.
are you taking with what you don't, what you doesn't sell? Are you taking it with you tomorrow?
Yeah, I am. So this is last chance.
So will it be there tomorrow?
Tell us leaves. Yeah. So tomorrow morning it'll be there, and then I'll probably clear that out just before I go. But anyway, I surely appreciate all of you being here, and I wish I had time to give you each a whole lot more than I had time to do. But if this can inspire even one of you to just take that, you know, walk off that cliff, take the risk, it is absolutely worth it. Get a hold of some of these books in terms of just general writing. There are also some fine books on the market for lyric writing specifically.